Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
We're up to episode 118. Top of the day to you, Tom.
I think you'll find we're at episode 218.
You know what? As I started saying it, I went, this is the wrong way. Just keep going.
That is an auspicious beginning and we're not starting again.
No, that's a whole lot of extra episodes. 218. Thank you for the clarification.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, it's hella rainy outside at the moment, so it's nice to be snugged up inside having a chat with you about shit we've watched.
I have got such a lot of things to talk about that I'm not going to talk about them all this week, just in case.
All right. Yeah, I watched too many things. I can hang on to some things. I had stuff on my list like Lego Masters Brickmas from last year. We're never going to talk about that. I should just delete it.
I did watch it though.
Me too. It was great.
It was good fun.
It's great. But I got a bunch of news, some stuff that's got me genuinely excited of things coming. Oh, some things are just very, very early announcement stage.
That's okay. I like those
whatever.
Ones.
I've got a fun fact that's a lot more fun than fact.
That sounds perfect. I've got a quiz where a lot of names get thrown at you and you have to pluck one from the sky.
Well, you can use me as your giant sheet of flypaper and throw things at me and we'll see what sticks.
Excellent. I like the sound of that. We'll do a quick recap during the watching segment of The Walking Dead is back.
Yep.
I did promise that I would play some of Horizon Forbidden West. So there are two things that we're definitely going to talk about.
And I promised that I'd talk about Peacemaker.
So we've got those.
We've got them to look forward to. Yep. And something that's got me, well, riled up.
Oh, okay.
Everyone enjoys it when Tom gets cranky. Something made me cranky.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by the off chance that the leftover sausages you made last week are still good to eat because you don't have anything else left in the fridge for dinner. The care hampers that were dropped off at the picnic area last week were much appreciated by the local bears who had forgotten to pack their own. As you would be aware, it's peak bear picnicking season and there's lots of stress on the mummy bears to get the family organised and ready to leave their lairs or caves early enough to grab a good spot in the popular parks. Having to make enough food and bring it along for growing bear cubs is a lot, and many human locals are aware of this. If the youngsters aren't fed adequate amounts of food, we start looking really tasty. So it's in our best interest to make sure that there's plentiful supplies of picnic hampers. Anders Anderson has released his brand new murder mystery book, and it's set in Watchersville. A quick synopsis is a new murder looks a lot like an old murder from 30-odd years ago. Inspector Innes must find the killer before they kill again, or something like that. Mr. Anderson will be signing copies of his novel at the Big Bookshop in the shopping centre from 11 a.m. tomorrow. Millie Miners has finally finished watching all 234 episodes of Leave It to Beaver. She's pretty upset that in the end the family didn't transform into actual beavers, so is thinking of suing the scriptwriters. But as the show finished up in 1963, it might be a bit hard to find any of them still alive. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Crack on into the news.
That's me opening up a news can. Man, there's so much new stuff that got announced this week that has me excited. And a lot of it is tying into things from the past and nostalgia. So let's just call this the nostalgia bucket. And we're all going to dip in there and have a listen to some cool stuff. All right? You ready?
I like this.
All right. So the first one is from Netflix. There's a Netflix comedy coming called Blockbuster. It's a 10-episode series that's around the last Blockbuster store. Now, you remember I talked about maybe a year ago now, I'd watched a documentary about the last Blockbuster.
Yeah, you really enjoyed it.
I did. It was great. And this is going to be a lot of the people that worked on Superstore and Parks and Recreation.
That's a nice mix.
There's a nice mix there. Mm. You've also got some of the people that were involved with Fresh Off the Boat.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be starring Randall Park as the guy who owns the store and operates it and is very committed to it. And announced this week is Melissa Fumero is joining the cast. She from Brooklyn Nine-Nine played Amy Santiago, and she also plays MODOK's daughter on the animated MODOK show I like.
Is she in Encanto?
No, that's Stephanie Beatrice. That's the other one. Yes. That's,
Yeah. I knew, as soon as you said Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I was like, oh, there's a connection with, no.
So she's the very nerdy one who ends up married to Andy Samberg.
Yep.
She's going to be playing a married woman whose marriage may be falling apart, very committed to her kids, but is the second in charge of the store. And I think they're setting her up to be the will they, won't they?
Yeah,
with,
okay.
With Randall Park. Either okay. way, that sounds great.
That
I'm
sounds
on for that.
Awesome.
10 episodes, Netflix, bit of fun.
That sounds and you know, like the fact that there's 10 episodes and that's got such a strong crew behind them, you know, everybody involved seems really good at what they're doing. Hopefully a second season.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, fingers crossed that one.
Fingers crossed.
Everybody sit down if you're a Britney fan, because I'm about to tell you something that you're going to want to know. And also put it on your Christmas list as well. Britney Spears has landed a book deal to write a tell-all memoir.
Oh, good.
This has cost one book publisher $15 million for the rights.
Sure.
She's got to be pretty happy with that, I reckon. It was a good deal because there was a bit of a bidding war happening.
Of course.
As you can imagine, you know, the news is pretty.
She's the genius behind If You Seek Amy. If You See Amy. But If You Seek Amy.
It just immediately made me think of that clothing store, French Connection. Do you remember
sure,
they used to have the t-shirts?
FCUK.
Yeah.
It's Britney, bitch.
Yeah, that's right. What I really love, though, right, is this news has come out around about a great time because her sister, Jamie Lynn, has also written a memoir, and I think that one is already out, right? But Britney was not happy about it, so she started saying stuff online about what she said. So I reckon there's going to be some pretty juicy stuff where Britney goes, listen, this is my memoir. I'm going to set the facts straight. Do not listen to that book over there.
Sure.
A book war between siblings. That doesn't happen every
day.
Doesn't
happen every day. I wonder if she'll put some photos in there. Britney loves a bit of a risque photo.
And also, if you're going to read a memoir or a biography or autobiography, you want some photographs.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's got goods. She's got dirt on people, is what I'm saying. She knows shit.
I get what you mean.
Oh. Imagine there's going to be so much tea spilled.
And I am here for the tweets about it. I may not read the book, but I'm happy for a tweet.
Sure. All right. Well, I'm going to bundle these two together because, oh boy, as I said, nostalgia bucket. Number one, there's a series being developed for Disney Plus by Adam Goldberg, who is the man behind the Goldbergs, and he's kind of carved out a bit of a niche of doing nostalgia stuff. He is going to be directing a series for them. Now, Disney Plus has had a couple of cracks at updating the Muppets. So he's not doing the Muppets as such. He's going to be doing a docu-series type or mockumentary type thing following the Electric Mayhem, which is the Muppets band with Dr. Teeth, Animal, of course.
Yep.
The whole gang, and it's them trying to record an album today. Now, they've never put out an album. It's always just been live music, and that's kind of been their whole thing. You know, they're meant to be like Grateful Dead or Fish or just one of those touring jam bands.
Yeah.
And so this series is going to be about modern producers trying to fit them in the box and them perhaps not.
This is a really good idea.
Now, if you think that's a good idea, strap in for this other one.
Okay.
Because, oh boy. I didn't even write down who's producing or anything like that. I'm too excited. John Cena is going to be starring in a Wile E. Coyote movie. Now, Wile E. Coyote, of course, of the Looney Tunes.
And Roadrunner.
Now, this film is not what you'd think. It's called Wile E. Coyote vs. Acme. Acme, of course, is the company that sold him all of the faulty products over the years. And this is based on a satirical news strip that was written in the early 90s of I believe someone was inspired by Who Framed Roger Rabbit of what if Wile E. Coyote was real and what if he took Acme to court? So this is going to be a dry, like Aaron Sorkin style legal document, like legal drama comedy type thing starring silent Wile E. Coyote.
Yep.
And it's going to be all sorts of other Looney Tunes put on the box, put up in the box to defend themselves, and John Cena is going to be the prosecutor attacking them.
So it really is a mix between it's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's a mix between live human beings and some animated.
Yep.
Fun.
Yep. Fuck yeah. Everything about this, James Gunn is involved somehow. He might just be producing or something.
I love the idea of the Acme thing, right? Because when you think about it, that is the third character.
Yep. That's the faceless evil corporation. Yeah,
big Goliath corporation.
Uh-huh. And this is going to be the ultimate underdog taking on big pharma or whatever type story. But it's with a silent coyote.
The thing with the Roadrunner bit, right, is that that moment where the Roadrunner steps up into the witness box thing, that's the moment that everybody is going to the film to watch.
Yeah.
They've got to nail that bit. I don't know what they're going to do, but that bit.
He's got to slam his head on the book and go, meet, meet.
You've done it. You've done it for them. What a great idea.
Yosemite Sam is going to come out with all this right-wing bull crap. Like, they're going to update characters just enough.
Yeah, of course.
Pepe Le Pew is going to be an issue. Well, they cut him out of Space Jam 2. But a film about iffy courtroom stuff, you could definitely see him going past in a pair of handcuffs.
Yeah, yeah. What a fun way to sort of reference. Yeah, we understand, but he's a character.
Oh, so good.
He's a character.
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, "We tweet, therefore we are." Profound and a little creepy. Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy, I promise.
Sit down. Oh, you are. Continue sitting. Street Fighter 6 has been announced.
Yes.
6 years after the last one, which don't want to surprise you, it was called Street Fighter 5. Capcom. Why have I had so much trouble saying a name that's existed for like 30, 40 years?
Name not word good you.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Officially announced it during their Pro Tour Fighting Game exhibition. It was like the big countdown. They had a countdown, yeah. and that was what it was for.
One shout out to my real nerds out there, Wizards of the Coast, who are the guys that make Magic on the Gathering to celebrate this thing. They've revealed that they are printing 8 specific Street Fighter Magic the Gathering cards that you can get through their
Well, they'll sell
drop.
Out then, won't they?
They will. They will. So the reason why I add that is everyone jumped in on this Street Fighter enthusiasm. And I was really surprised because Street Fighter V wasn't super well received, yeah, especially by the Street Fighter community. They were like, but the Ultimates and the Expanded Legacy Edition, all of that really improved a lot of stuff. So everyone's feeling a lot more confident about how 6 will go.
And it's kind of a really good time for them to release this news or to announce it, because it landed on the 35th anniversary of Street Fighter 1. I mean, we've spoken about this before, but everybody's played Street Fighter at some point in time. My memory of it is playing it on the Game Boy, and I think it was Street Fighter 2 that we had,
sure,
and we played the hell out of it.
Who was
game.
Your go-to character?
Oh, come on. Who do you think? We want to make the electricity. That's
Blanca?
The special move.
All right.
Absolutely.
See, I ask that because you can tell things about – I was always Del Sim. I like to stand back.
Yeah.
But it's the same. I'm the medic when we play COD, so.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I'm too chicken shit to play all your zombie melee scary games because it's just
so
in my face too much. Stand back.
The zombie melee scary games, right, you've got to live through the first couple of hours until you skill up a bit,
yeah,
and then you're like, less scary.
Okay.
Like Dying Light.
Yeah.
Don't go out at night.
Yeah.
Okay, probably won't. But don't go into this building during the day because that's where all the sleeping zombies are. Mm. Nah, I will. But I understand if I stand here for the kill the take down the zombie animation, none of the other zombies are going to get me. Figured out the game.
Figured it out.
The mechanics.
Mechanics, nice.
Saw the 0-1s matrix stuff that's happening.
Another upcoming thing that's got me going. Yeah, all right. Lonely Island. So,
oh, no. How are you just saying, yeah, all right, for a Lonely Island thing? This is the kind of thing that you'd be like.
So Lonely Island are producing a series for CBS called The Hug Machine. Now, I don't think any of them are going to be starring.
Okay, so that's the yeah, all right.
That's right.
Okay.
Yorma is directing the pilot, at least. Yorma's the little one of the three of them. Mm-hmm. So The Hug Machine, a dad gets a second chance to save both his marriage and his flailing rock career when his band unintentionally finds success in the raucous cutthroat world of children's music. Boom. The Lonely Island are going to write parody children's songs. Thank you.
Didn't Regurgitated do a couple of kids' albums?
Yeah.
I mean, the Wiggles were originally a rock band as well,
the
weren't
Cockroaches.
They? Yeah.
Yeah. Look, there's plenty of stuff out there that's good. There's a comedian named Mike Furman who makes fantastic kids' music.
But this is the, I mean, I can imagine.
No one's done, not even Weird Al has parodied kids' music.
And it's the kind of thing that's just rife for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lonely Island there. Maybe, no, was it Turtleneck and Chain? No. One of their albums, they have a song, I Got That Diaper Money. I got that diaper money, dude. I got that diaper money. Yeah. They've played in this area. They've played in this area of we used to be cool, now we're dads.
I mean, also, just today, I was walking around, in my head was one of the 45 different Emma with her bow songs was stuck in my head.
Mm.
So this is the kind of thing that people have on high rotation in their brains anyway.
Oh, my God, I go to sleep at night hearing, do the propeller, do.
Yep. We have to do the whirly bird a lot now.
Do the whirly.
Yeah, and then stand like
say
a statue.
The dance, do the dance.
Yeah.
If you say the dance.
That's the one. And then you got to get one of the Emma Bow songs, but obviously she won't tell you which one. She doesn't, you know. So you've got to go through them all, and the more you get it wrong, the more frustrated the no is, until suddenly you get it, or you offer the Simon Cold Knees song, which is a problem because I don't remember the Cold Knees title,
the
right?
Cold Water Blues.
No, that's one of the greatest songs that's ever written, apparently.
I hate that song. Things that I don't care for.
Yeah, right.
Apparently NCIS Sydney is coming.
I heard about this. Why?
I don't know. I didn't ask for it. Channel 10 did.
How many do we – well, we were speaking about this not long ago, that there's 45 of those in the SCSIs. Well,
apparently this is going to be the first international one.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Australian actors and actresses. We could have just said actors, but Australian make-believers are going to be in front of their camera.
And they've all been in Water Rats and Police Rescue.
But how do we – like, what's our shit? We're going to find a body at Bondi.
It's
going to be.
It's all going to be set in Bondi.
There's going to be someone sneaking through some stuff in a boogie bag.
Yeah. that's right. There's something up in the mountains.
Someone's going to go missing in the Blue Mountains for sure.
Yep. Back alley. You know when people want to be really cool and they stand in that alley somewhere in the inner west and it's like murally kind of thing?
Yep. There's going to be shoes hanging from power lines above.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that. Is it going to be a captain who just can't act until he's had his morning Vegemite?
Yeah, that's right. And oh my gosh, did you see what happened on the Sydney Harbour Bridge?
Mm.
That'll be every few hours.
The coroner is going to be wacky, and when they walk in the room, he's going to go struth or something equivalent for our international audiences to go, this is very Australian.
You've just reminded me of another Australian story, and I'm going to have to get this one right because we knew about this a while ago, but we were not allowed to say anything.
If they made this in Blacktown, it could be NCI Eshe. Boom. There you go. Fucking drill humour for everyone out there.
That's so good. Now, of course, you know that I love Below Deck.
You do love Below Deck. This is a fact.
And we knew that there was a Below Deck Australia coming out like that.
Yes,
that
you
that
have
was
kept
thing
me
that we
abreast.
Knew.
And afloat.
So Aisha, who has been on at least two seasons, she's a Kiwi. She is the chief stew for this one.
How do you spell that?
A-E-S-H-A. Aisha.
Don't like it. But allow it. It's her name.
Say it in
it's
New Zealand accent.
Isher.
So I'm all on top of this,
yes.
And don't you worry, there may be surprises for us later on during all of that. But before all of that, I need to put...
Have you been talking to producers? Are we going to go on a boat?
Oh, I'd love to go on a boat. But I don't want to work on it. I just want to be the guest.
Yeah.
Who gets up at like 6 in the morning and asks for coffee. And all the crew's asleep because...
It's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
That's
going to be me. Yeah, fair enough. But I'm paying so much for this. I don't even know how much you pay for it. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Like the fact that they get $15,000 tips for two nights. It's a lot of money.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Do you have the story about a Doctor Who Easter special?
Nope.
There's going to be a Doctor Who Easter special. This is kind of along the lines of rounding out the Jodie Whittaker Doctor Who storyline. So there was word that it was going to happen sometime in spring of 2022. Well, Easter is in spring of 2022, so that's it. Go. I've got a quick little synopsis. The episode will follow the Doctor and her gang as they head to a small coastal village in 19th century China that's under threat from a pirate queen and a terrifying alien force. So it sounds very on brand with Doctor Who. A lot of fun, I reckon.
Cool. I look forward to this era being wrapped up. We're having another crack at the next one.
Yeah.
I
know you were a fan of her as the Doctor, but you were less of a fan of the showrunner.
Correct. You summed it up perfectly.
Yep.
One that I am a big fan of both showrunner and star.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about later. Peacemaker has been renewed for season two, which is great. They announced it just before the premiere of the finale.
Yep.
Two French words, one sentence. Which the finale ended up being the most watched single episode on HBO ever, HBO Max.
That's impressive.
The show has done very well. And James Gunn has already put his hand up, and it's quite like a big deal. So he's filming Guardians of the Galaxy 3 at the moment, and he said he's done with movies for a while. He had such a good time making Peacemaker that he's going to be TV for at least a full year.
That's awesome.
So he's got this show completely set. He's got another spin-off from Suicide Squad 2 that he's going to do. And I know he's executive producing like The Wile E. Coyote and a few other things. So he's going to be plenty busy. But we've seen people from the film world play in television before. We've seen people develop a show and then hand it off to TV directors.
Yep.
But we haven't really seen a film director develop something, produce it and direct most of it. I think there were 3 of the 8 episodes that he didn't do, but he's come out and said that next season he's doing all 8 of them.
Oh, that's exciting.
It feels like it, but he said something about the storytelling of television clicked with him and he suddenly realized that he could make 8-hour films.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, I was only having this conversation a couple of nights ago watching something and just being like, television's become film.
This Peacemaker is a movie.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Even off the back of just watching that trailer for Amazon's Power of the Ring or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
The Lord of the Rings here. Just, this is a TV show.
It's crazy.
Everything's changed. You think about, you know, when we were growing up and if a movie actor was in a TV show, it was either just for a cameo or they'd... Oh, they're
on
career.
Their
career,
yeah. It's a bit sad.
It's the opposite now. I mean, you have people like Reese Witherspoon,
Steve Buscemi, and then people that I throw him out because he started with a big HBO thing, of Boardwalk Empire, and now he's just on Miracle Workers. Him and Daniel Radcliffe on a tiny little show, comedy show that they just enjoy as a passion project. They go and film that for 6 weeks a year.
You were talking about last week, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, renovations.
I had Lisa Rinner in my head.
Yeah, sure.
Because of the lips. Sure. This is...
It's the new paradigm.
It really is. But back when movie stars were proper movie stars, you had Molly Ringwald and she was playing Sam, I think it was, in 16 Candles. Well, do you remember the whole premise of that was her whole family forgot her birthday and she didn't say anything on the day or even in the lead up to it because, I mean...
It's on her.
It's totally on her because her sister's wedding is that day. She had bare minimum 6 months to say something, right?
Sure.
Probably longer.
Sure, Jan.
Yeah, that's right. your head... The head angle that you just did then, I was like, oh, wow, flashback to the film. That was phenomenal. Well, on her Instagram account the other day, she... She actually posted these screenshots of a conversation between her and her mum where her mum forgot her birthday in real life.
Mm.
So it was like she captioned it with actual conversation with my mum today. And in the conversation it was like Molly Ringwald says, that's it, you don't have anything else to say to me today? Like is it constant, like that's the line, right? And her mum says, oh, I didn't realize it's the 18th today. Happy birthday. I haven't gotten you a present yet, but expect it in the mail. And Molly Ringwald says, life imitates art. And her mum said, how true. It took me a few more years to forget, though, and I'll forget again. So I reckon, right, I reckon a mum's done on purpose.
Sure.
I don't think a mum forgot. I think a mum thinks that's a hilarious joke.
Yeah, that's a good stitch up that she can use every few years. Yep, you're 100% right, I reckon.
Oh, fun. Have you got any more other stories?
I've got no news, but I got two trailers.
Come on.
All right, so the trailers, one we've talked about before, which is Our Flag Means Death. That is the pirate show from Taika Waititi.
I cannot wait for
this. I'm not going to dive anymore.
Where is it?
HBO Max.
HBO, that's right.
In like a week or two. It's very, very soon. And this new trailer makes it look far more glossy and highly produced than I expected.
Okay.
It looks like it's taking the piss out of Outlander and stuff.
Perfect.
But it's starring comedians.
I can't wait.
And then there was a long-form trailer for The Boys Diabolical, mm-hmm. which is the animated spin-off anthology, whatever you want to call it. That's coming March 4th, Amazon Prime. I've heard rumors that we're going to get The Boys Season 3 trailer within the next week.
So how many weeks between the end of this season?
Of the animated one?
And then Season 3.
I don't know, because Amazon might drop a few episodes at once. They might single drop them. I'm not sure. The Boys, they generally drop the first three episodes and then singles. I can't even remember exactly how many episodes there are. There are a lot of big names involved with this animated one.
There were a lot of big names for Marvel's What If, but then I guess they already had those people.
Yeah, this is big people voicing characters, but also big name directors for each episode.
Oh, right, okay.
And it looks like each episode has its own animation style.
Kind of like Into the Spider-Verse sort of thing.
Yeah, but they're not crossing over. So it's more like we're going to tell a story and use Chuck Jones or Tex Avery style over the top, or we're going to – there's one that looks like it might be kind of, you know, Cuphead style, very throwback cool. 30s stretchy limbs, all this sort of stuff. But then you've also got one that looks like Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to really play with – just like comic books do, they're going to play with comic book tropes in animation and – oh.
So there's that's
one,
March.
There's one that looks very Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, I hope it has those really awkward, you know, in Ren and Stimpy when they used to do the, yeah, that's right.
The sound effects and the boogers stretching.
And just they would stay on that for way too long.
Focus on people's moles.
Yes.
And all this sort of stuff. And they're all animated. So someone had to draw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for that. It's going to be good fun. Leah.
Yes.
Grab my hand. Take my hand.
Right.
We're getting him on the fun fact trivia bus. Today's one is just because I've had Looney Tunes on the brain with all of that excitement. So I thought I'd give you two fun facts from Looney Tunes Back in Action, which of course you'll remember is the Brendan Fraser not so great Looney Tunes movie. It's not great.
Never watched
it. Better than the one that came after, which I don't even remember was called. But Brendan Fraser did such a good job doing an impersonation of Taz, the Tasmanian devil, that he was allowed to do the voice instead of Taz's current voice actor, Jim Cummings.
That's awkward.
That is awkward because Jim Cummings is like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Pete and like
he's Taz. Jim Cummings, like you know his name.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So good on you, Brendan Fraser. He's that good at doing that he stole work from someone who rightfully should have been paid.
Oh, I feel bad.
During filming, Brendan Fraser was completely terrified of having to hit Bill Goldberg. Now, Bill Goldberg at the time, well, he'd just come off a long run at WCW World Championship Wrestling where he was the heavyweight champion of the world. His character crushed everyone. And it was
big bloke,
massive bloke, former NFL player. And his finishing moves was he would spear tackle you to the ground really hard and you'd just be dead. And he crushed everyone. Anyway, so he was added to the film to be, I think it was a security guard. I can't remember. Don't hold against me. Bill Goldberg fans of Looney Tunes, please write me and correct me if you need to. Goldberg terrified him but Goldberg constantly, as in between every second take, had to remind him, go ahead and do it. It's what I do for a living. Hit me. Hit me.
Right. Yeah, right.
Hitting Goldberg would be one of the scariest things you could do, especially in 2003 or 2002 when they were making this. They hadn't watered down his character. I think he was He was the scariest man in wrestling. They created that character.
But, like, you would also be scared that it would hurt you more than it would hurt him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, or running into him.
Yeah, or you'd hit him the wrong way and he'd turn around and deck your bum back. Yeah. Yeah. So I get where he's coming from, but I think that's – we don't really consider that too much when we're watching a film. But, yeah, someone got really hit to make that shot, and some people are genuinely scary. Like, I'm sure that Pedro Pascal woke up pretty nervous – having to fight the mountain. Yes. For what was probably 9 or 10 days of filming.
Highly choreographed too, so they'd already done all of that.
Yeah, and yeah, just I'm sorry if I hit you wrong. I'm sorry if I hit you wrong. I'm trying to do my Mandalorian voice. I'm sorry if I hit you wrong.
That's it. That's better. Because I'm trying to remember. He had sort of a miscellaneous accent.
It was very Inigo Montoya.
Yeah. It's funny. Sometimes I forget that's where I know him from originally, because he's just been in so many other things now. Oh, I'm looking forward to checking out how The Last of Us series is.
Sure.
I'm happy he's in it. I really am. As Joel.
Someone said the other day, Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill's been on my mind a lot lately. On Saturday, I think it was, he took a trip to Warhammer HQ over in the UK, and I've told you before of his love, and he talks on Graham Norton about it. So everyone's like, is he talking about a role? I think it's more going to be they're going to surprise everyone in a couple of weeks with him hosting a painting tutorial or something crazy like that. But, apparently he was in the running for – I forgot who you were.
Joel.
He was in a consideration for Joel, and they went with Pedro – I mean, apart from the fact that Pedro is an amazing actor, but part of it was the physique.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's a bit someone once described Henry Cavill of he has the body type of when you get to customize your character and you get the upper torso dial and turn it the whole way to one side, because that's a pretty good description of what he looks like.
I mean, Pedro in that respect is – He's a way better choice, because you actually want to feel like there's some danger that people are going to die, and not just, oh, don't worry, Henry Cavill's here. It's fine. He's the Witcher. He's Superman. He's got this one. Yeah. We've got a Bradley Cooper themed quiz later.
That's specific, and I like it.
Yep. I try and get specific.
Is he Chris Cooper's son? I've never asked this out loud. I've never really thought about it. Probably not.
No.
Chris Cooper, of course, the weird neighbour in American Beauty, which is a difficult watch these days.
Yeah, which one was the weird neighbour now, you know
adaptation?
What I mean?
Adaptation? You're right. Which one is the weird neighbour? Makes you think, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
I'm thinking about
probably
it right now.
Probably Annette Bening.
Yeah, probably.
How's Warren Beatty doing?
He must be all right, right?
I don't know.
Just enjoying retirement?
I haven't seen him in a long time. Makes me think about it.
He's the younger of the siblings, like Shirley MacLaine.
And Roy is older.
Roy?
Yeah, Roy Beatty.
Huh. Roy's a good old person name.
Isn't it?
Mm.
Roy, Warren and
Shirley.
Shirley. Strong. Anyway, weird bit of, sorry.
I liked all of that. That was great. And now it's, and now, ladies and gentlemen.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Shit we watch.
That's better. Let's kick it off first, though, with the final season of Walking Dead.
Mm. It's the final season. We've got 15 episodes after this one of the main core show.
Yep. So we finished The World Beyond, which is the one about the kids.
I didn't watch the second season.
That's right.
I might...
Look, you can either might or I'll just tell you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I could do that. Because I didn't finish Fear the Walking Dead's later season.
I finished that one. So between us, we've watched enough.
It's just...
We've got it covered.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm kind of intrigued by this new Tales of the Walking Dead series. Have you heard bits and pieces about that? We haven't talked about it too much, but there's a lot of good cast involved.
And it's the kind of thing that I like.
Well, that's what we thought Fear the Walking Dead was going to be.
Yep.
And it sounds like it's going to be World War Z, the book.
Yep. Great. Which was...
A lot of funny people involved.
I think people are going to cling on to that. Like, they're going to remember that that's a thing that it exists. But I also think there's as each episode goes by, of this final season, there's going to be this absolute fever pitch of Rick. I already saw Rick Grimes trending.
Sure, people on Twitter. Expecting him back.
Yeah, it's just they're going to be shouting for those movies.
But I think it's more realistic to hope that Michonne might come back for the finale. I mean, it'd be great if Rick came back, but that's a lot of storytelling legwork they've got to handle.
Yeah. But Michelle running back to hang out with the kids?
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. I liked where this episode last night ended that you know, spoilers or whatever, the Reapers, that's wrapped up. What we thought was going to be the big bad for the whole time is gone. Commonwealth are here. And then that six-month flash.
Yeah, which is not an unusual thing for The Walking Dead. No. They do those time jumps.
No, and there's been a weird reversal.
Yes, but at the same time, that is such a Maggie thing. Whatever has happened, is such a Maggie thing.
I'm saying Daryl leading them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's now the authority figure. But we've just seen Daryl infiltrate the Reapers and the Saviors. And is he just undercover again? It's what he likes to do, isn't it?
It's his favorite thing. I enjoyed the fact that you saw him with Connie.
Yes.
And even though there was a slight, is there a romance thing going on here?
Yes, felt like that.
But I also think that they're setting it up so that you think that's going to be and then it's not going to be and then he and Carol are going to go off and do their own show.
Sure.
Can't take Connie with them.
I like that he's learning sign.
Yeah.
And better than anyone else.
Well, at least he's trying. It's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, jumping back into some Walking Dead was pretty good. Enjoying the fact that it is the final season because I feel like there's not so much an end in sight, but they now can get those stakes so high.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ancillary characters that don't need to hang around anymore. And they can start winnowing things down and just focus on the essential storyline. Yep. Is Gabe going to make it to the end, Gabriel?
Probably not. He's a bit...
He's pretty far gone.
Yeah.
he's a priest.
Doing a lot of things, yeah. 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 I don't think so, but...
I don't like Maggie after that episode, I'll be honest. Because she was away for so long and she's come back and she's different and we've had those 8 episodes of being like, oh, you're pretty dark.
Yeah.
And then her actions last night was like, you're the bad guy now. Yeah. That okay.
But remember that was Rick as well. You could often see Rick as the bad guy. Well,
almost all the characters have done this of like whether it's always about saving life or killing before they become a problem. But that was a pretty far trip down that road that – we don't see our heroes do too often on that show.
Yeah.
Maybe kill one person.
She just didn't want to deal with them.
She didn't want to deal with
them. She had other stuff to do. She had to go and find Alden.
Hey, can I tell you something else I don't want to deal with?
Yep.
Lynn's wanted to watch the Kanye West documentary on Netflix.
Oh, right. Which I believe
is called Gene Yeos.
Something like that. Yep, I get it.
I think I lasted about 20 minutes before I bowed out.
Did it make you angry?
Well, she was really enjoying it, and that's cool. Kanye pisses me off. I like some of his old songs. His early career was great. He's disappeared up his own ass, and he's either the edgiest lame meme lord ever, or he's got some serious issues, and people need to take him aside to get him help because they've tried to get him. And this documentary is by one of his best friends who's basically been filming since before Kanye had a career. So I'm sure it gets better quality later, but at the beginning it's just Kanye's home videos stapled together.
Yeah, right.
And it's all just patting him on the back and this stuff.
So this has obviously got the Kanye tick of approval, yes. Right?
Yes.
How – I mean, you didn't see it, but
it's it's kind of meant to be about mental health and – the pressure of being considered a genius of what it will
even by himself.
Yes. I just the filmmaker is not a filmmaker by trade.
Mm-hmm.
His narration was not strong. Was it? I don't know. I wasn't feeling a compelling hook.
Yeah.
Lynn's quite enjoyed it. She stuck with it, but she watches a lot of documentaries and stuff.
That's her thing. Yeah.
And I can't stand the guy. He's publicly picking on Pete Davidson and just being the worst abusive ex-boyfriend publicly. We can all see this. Stop. Just stop enabling this prick. He's then come out and said, oh, yeah, my new album Donda 2 is coming out, but you can only buy it through this specific device that I have. It's $200 and it gives you the stubs of each song so you can pull apart. And the first comment that I just loved was, so that means we can mute your lyrics, right? Because that's the best part of Kanye's shit is his beats. Yep. Anyway.
Yeah.
Genius. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah, right. It's definitely up to whether you think he's okay or not.
The podcast that stings like a bee but does not float like a butterfly. That's ridiculous. We are the Watchers.
Horizon Forbidden West.
Oh, I know, is it?
You know how I was telling you, I think you should probably
play the first one.
Play the first one.
Yes.
And I said, but there, I've heard that there's a recap at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, don't rely on that recap. That recap decimates the wonderful story and the the unfolding of this story.
I have both games. I haven't installed the second game.
Don't do it yet. It's not you. It just goes. Brrr, this is it, and you're
I feel like I could just main quest the first game. Yep.
That's where the wonderful unfolding of the story is. So
and focus on side quests for this new one.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. I think I'm trying to remember in the first one, I think this also happened. The beginning of it is not open world. It's more like those narrative stories you might get with like The Last of Us, Tomb Raider, where you're going into these different areas on a map because they're telling you the story.
Sure.
And then it gets to a point where you're like, okay, now you go out into the world and do your thing. But what I really liked about this tutorial is because obviously we've played Aloy. Like we know Aloy from the first one. We know that these are all the things that she uncovered and are so important to her story, how she uncovered them, like all her moves and paraphernalia and whatnot. You need a tutorial part, right, in the beginning of the game to figure out what to do. So it's actually her and her friend from the beginning, from the first game, and she's explaining to him how to do the things that she can
do. That's cool.
I think that's really clever, right? Because otherwise, how do you explain it?
And all of a sudden, I, the player, am not the idiot.
Exactly.
I'm observing along. That's brilliant.
Yeah,
very nice.
I thought that was really well done.
Like that.
Yeah. So I've gotten through all of that bit. I've gotten through all of the setting up of the story. And now I am out into the open world. And it's such a good looking game. It's beautiful.
Are you playing it in 4K?
No, I don't have a flash TV.
I'm the same.
I don't care about that. You know, as long as it looks good on the TV that I've got.
I got it spec'd for performance.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, that's what I was like, yeah, okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I don't need all the pixels, but I like it when the machine doesn't whir as loudly. So,
yeah, I don't need, just make her look smooth when she's running.
Smooth.
But it's amazing how big this game seems to be. Like, I mean, she's on the cover of magazines, this character, this person that doesn't exist, and I just think that's...
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a bigger deal than I anticipated.
Well, there's less and less original IPs that break through and much more sequels. So, yes, this is a sequel, but it's a pretty original idea.
I heard somebody say that they wouldn't be surprised if this is a trilogy. So maybe this is like our Empire Strikes Back.
Sure. There'll be more. Of course, there's always robotic dinosaurs.
Everybody wants a robotic dinosaur. Anything else you want to cover off?
Yeah, look, I'll briefly mention Peacemaker. I've talked about it a lot. It was great. And if you're at all inclined and thinking about checking it out, go and check it out. I've seen that you can buy it on Australian iTunes now. It's up there. It's scattering around everywhere.
Good.
It's so well done.
Yeah.
It made me laugh throughout. It feels like a film. The cast are all really solid. And there are so many shows where you get to the last few episodes and you've always got to have a few twists.
Mm.
But sometimes those twists come out of nowhere and you're not you couldn't be surprised because it's a left turn.
Mm.
Whereas the surprises that come in this, some of them are still surprising. But when you look back on, everything is paying off something that was set up.
Yeah, right.
Not just throwaway jokes, but like something was set up in episode 2 that you didn't realize was set up, but it was crucial to the climax of 7.
Hmm.
Things like that. And I'm sure that comes from having a film director at the helm of understanding you have to pay off everything within a story.
Yep.
But because he was treating this limited series as one story.
One massive movie.
He's kind of said that he wrote it like comic books. So comic books, back in the day when Stan Lee was doing it, his whole deal was every comic book could be someone's first issue. You have to start with a bit of setup. You have to explain who's Spider-Man, all this sort of stuff. And then these days, it's about writing for the trade. And trade is another word for graphic novel, and it's where 6 issues are collected in one book, and that's what goes on library shelves or book. That's what's sold forever.
Mm-hmm.
And end of every issue has the cliffhanger moment.
Yeah.
But there's also story structure written through, so you'll have a big reveal page turn on page 6 or page 8 or something like that, where you turn over and what happens on the next page is surprising. And James Gunn has talked about he used that story structure for the show so that the end of it is the issue cliffhanger, but each episode, rather than needing an issue cliffhanger, instead gets a page reveal.
Nice.
So sometimes you'll only get half the scene as the cliffhanger and the next episode starts.
Mm, interesting.
And it's the payoff of that.
Yeah, right.
And it's not what you expected. Mm. I don't know. The structure of this was great. The guy that plays Vigilante, the best friend superhero, is amazing. My favorite new character in a long time.
Is this the show? Because I only saw a tweet about it, but is this a show where someone was dressed up as Batman and then all of his scenes got cut?
Yes. But I won't go too much into that.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
There are a lot of cameos and shout-outs throughout. Like a lot of characters who previously had only gotten mentioned on the Harley Quinn animated show are suddenly now canon with the Henry Cavill Superman movies because Peacemaker talks shit about them.
Yeah, right.
There's a running joke about Aquaman fucking fishes, and it pays off. The wildest swing at Green Arrow. It implies that Green Arrow likes to go to brony conventions. Brony, of course, is male adults that enjoy My Little Pony. He goes to brony conventions dressed as the back half of Sparkle Magic or Twilight Magic, maybe, with a large hole drilled at the anus.
Oh, that's
ready to go.
This is
a lot. It's a lot, and it's a very R-rated version of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's another weird team that gets formed together that becomes a family through trauma and just a lot of fun.
So when you were saying how, you know, things that you see in episode 1 paid off in episode 7, it kind of made me think about particularly that first season of The Good Place, right? Is it the kind of thing where you can now go back and watch Peacemaker for a second time and pick up on all the references and how they were building the story? Or is it more, oh, no, I get it all in the finale?
There's not really stuff hidden like that. It's not a guess. It's more like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
That's clever.
Yeah, so the 100% payoff is in that moment. Okay.
Yes, and
yeah.
I'm dancing around things because a lot of these things are so much of the payoff of this show.
Yeah.
Is it coming together? But, yeah, there's just a throwaway line from episode 2 or 3 that becomes the absolute crux of the finale.
That's so cool.
It's so funny.
You've obviously got the news that you're getting another season, which is great. But now you got to wait for it.
I know, but I can rewatch the show again, and I probably will. If you enjoyed The Boys, this show is your vibe.
Yeah.
And it just, God, John Cena is going to be a comedy movie star for quite some time. There's a 10-minute blooper reel that's floating around, of which like 7 minutes is just him talking shit that makes the other people break.
Yeah, okay.
And like that's what he came to work to do.
Yeah, right.
Was to, you know, he was there with a bunch of people that are either very funny comedians or very serious like English thespians. And his job was to make you fuckers laugh. And boy, oh boy, does he succeed.
Isn't that fun?
He's quick.
Because I don't really know much about him apart from the fact that who he is, but his personality.
Years of him being on the microphone live in front of tens of thousands of people every night doing these wrestling things has just trained this guy to live in that performance moment. And you see it when he does this improv thing. So there's one scene he does that someone gets stitched up and framed and it's not the right person. And Cena's furious that this person was chosen. And he's like, you could have done anyone. And then he improvs, no joke, almost a minute and a half of the most random list of names I have seen in so long. But it's just and
wow.
And everything, like you can see why his brain jumped to the next name he says, but each time,
yeah, I get what you mean.
And it's really, really good. Anyway, Peacemaker, give it a go.
Yeah, it's got nothing but good sort of vibes thrown in its direction, which is great to hear. Yeah.
And if you finish the Suicide Squad movie going, that Peacemaker's a dick, they redeem him real well. He is a dick, but he's America's dick. Yeah, okay. I got so many other things that I could just briefly talk about, but what about you? Do you want to cover anything else off?
I'll just quickly say I watched a 4-part miniseries from England called The Girl Before.
The Girl Before?
Yep. So it's the setup is probably the most interesting part of it. There's this really super modern, minimalist-looking house that has been lovingly designed by an architect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the architect still owns it. And people inspect it, and if they like it, then they can fill out this 200 question questionnaire, and then they if they get through that stage, then they go on to an interview stage with the architect, and then they can live in the house. Only a couple of people have ever actually been able to do it, right?
It's very involved process.
But it's even more involved because there are rules about living in this house. No books.
No books.
No pets.
No dice.
Don't do anything with the garden. You can only take with you some clothes.
Yep.
Don't bother about toiletries or anything.
No pooping.
No, the architects picked all of that. No paintings. Don't bring any of your own stuff.
These are a lot of rules. And if you go to the list of those rules, right? I imagine there'd be more rules. Like, if I'm making that many rules, I'm going to have a rule in there that's like, do not jack off on my curtains.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? It's got to be some of those. Well, there's probably no curtains now. Think about it. Super minimalist. What's the point of having curtains? No,
taking your pants off and dragging yourself on the carpet like a dog.
You can't do that. There are no light switches. He's not a fan of that. Instead, what he's done is he's basically a computer in control of the...
Yeah, he's surveilling everything. And he's
so creepy.
Big brother.
So creepy. But there's maybe somebody died in that house or something.
Was that the girl before?
Yeah, that's right. So it's all about uncovering that and who is there a murderer or is there not a murderer? What really happened? Why are these people all looking the same? What is going on? And you know what I like about it? It's only 4 episodes. I think the ending was not as strong as it could have been, but those 4 episodes was enough for this story to be told.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The premise was the best bit.
Do I know anyone involved in the show?
Did I say it's English?
You did.
Because it is. I don't think so. I don't think I recognised anyone.
Sounds like a Hugh Farnsley Barnworth the third might be right. Surveilling on a camera.
Yeah, he was there.
Someone named Daisy is the girl before.
Oh, yeah. Dayton.
There's a lot of British Daisies. A
couple of marigolds, but they're a little... They're a bit artsy. This was an HBO Max thing. It was on BBC as well. I think BBC got it end of last year.
Sure.
And then it's come to, because it's on HBO Max, it's come to Foxtel here maybe a couple of weeks ago. So I checked it out. 4 episodes is easy to get through.
Don't
feel daunted, jump out.
Treat yourself.
And thus concludes my watching suggestions for the week. What about you?
No, I'm done.
Cool. I thought so.
I'm done.
I'm very excited because we're now going to get into quiz time, and it's called Bradley Cooper character names. Remember we did this with Keanu?
Well, I do remember.
And I realised that the majority of characters that he plays are either Jack or
Jay.
John.
Yeah.
That's the only 2 options. It's bizarre. Especially for a bloke with the name Keanu, it was
sure.
Interesting
That's probably a fun holiday for him.
Yeah.
Everyone can pronounce that name properly. Hello, Keanu. Canoe.
Canoe. Hello, Canoe. How you doing?
Keanu.
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 So you got to guess the correct name of the character Bradley Cooper plays in these films, and I've given you an either or, right?
All right, either or, good-o, because off the top of my head I can remember one character.
Really? Because I can't remember any character names.
Oh, it doesn't look like Bradley Cooper.
Oh yeah, no, I did not that put out? That one. I thought that can't
damn
do
it,
that.
I thought Rocket was going to be in there.
I can't do that. The Hangover, was his character's name Paul or Phil?
Phil.
Yes. Jeez, you're good for that one. All right.
I remember that.
How? I mean, there were three movies.
I watched that movie a bunch. I love that movie.
I don't know if I've seen the third one.
It's awful.
The second one was okay.
The third one was awful. Mm. It was real diminishing returns.
Was it more about Zach's character?
Everyone was phoning in a bit more.
Yeah, okay.
Ed Helms did not want to be there.
Oh, really?
It didn't. It felt like
Ed, take your tooth out again. I'm not doing it.
Oh, it's just, as you say, it was all about Zach.
Yeah.
Straight from the path.
Maybe you have seen it. A Star is Born. Was his character's name Jack or John? This is the Keanu. So this is the film with
the
Lady
musician,
Gaga.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to say John because he's a country guy.
His name's Jack.
His name's
Jack. Because he's a musician. I thought you were going to say, bloke's a bit more casual.
You're right. Jack is far more.
Yeah.
Muso.
I'm a muso. My name's Jack. Of course it is.
I'm a jack of all trades.
Yeah. American Sniper. Was his name Chris or Kyle?
That's a good one.
Because they're both American sniper names.
I'm
going
to say, I'm pretty sure his name was Chris.
It was Chris.
But I like that you chose Kyle because the only other name that I would have accepted as an option for a film called American Sniper would be Chad.
Yeah, Chad.
Chad or Kyle. Chad.
So Chris's last name in the movie was Kyle.
Yes. I knew it was linked. That's a good one.
Have you seen that film?
I have.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's a tough watch.
It's real. It's a true story.
Yeah, that's what
it?
I mean. That's why he's seen as a hero.
Yeah.
For a while.
Mm. Yeah, I remember the premise now that you're, yeah.
Yeah.
One I did watch that I suspect you haven't is Silver Linings Playbook. That's the one with Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, one of the ones is Jennifer
Lawrence. True.
They love a bit of a team up, those two.
I forgot about that.
BFFs.
His name in the film was either Pat or Phil.
Pat. I'm going to go with Pat.
It was Pat.
Because we had a Phil earlier.
We had a Phil earlier. And the Pat inspired me to suggest Phil again.
Well, I hope I earn a good pat on the head for that one.
Well,
later.
You're going pretty well.
Thanks.
The movie Limitless. Remember where he was taking
the
pills?
Yeah, takes the pills. Yeah, great film.
Eddie or Harry?
Part of me wants to say Eddie, but I don't think I should because I think I remember Harry something starting with H. Is it an alliterative?
How do you remember? This is from 2011.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
So you're going with Harry?
I think it's Harry and then something maybe starting with H afterwards. I can't remember.
It was Eddie.
Oh.
But Abby Cornish was in that.
Yeah.
Aussie.
Yeah. She had a bit of a run there for a few years.
Mm.
Her and Isabel Lucas, about the same time, they were both up for a couple of interesting roles.
But do you know who was always there? Rose Byrne.
Oh, Rose Byrne. Perennial.
So is it.
She's tight.
Still doing stuff
now.
Yeah,
she got made friends with the right people. Mm. Well done, Rose.
Mm. It's quite funny too. You think about her and stuff like Bridesmaids.
Neighbours.
Yeah, Neighbours. Mm.
Bad Neighbours.
Bad Neighbours in Australia. People, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Final one. I don't even know if this was a movie. No, it was a movie in the beginning, but Wet, Hot American Summer. Was it Ben or Dan?
Ooh.
Do you remember? Actually, it was a film, and then later on when it became I think it was for Netflix, a season, I think I've got this right, his character was played by Adam Scott.
Correct.
Yeah. Ben or Dan?
I want to say Ben.
It is Ben. So don't say Dan.
No, because I'd be in trouble with a few people I know in my personal life if I got Red Hot trivia wrong.
I'd watch that again. It's been a while.
It's a vibe. Yeah. It's a good vibe. Paul Rudd.
Janine Garofalo. Mm. You said her name last week.
Gian Garofalo. She's not the Gruffalo.
No. Well done. You know your Bradleys.
I know my Brads.
He's a Bradley. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Actually, it's Bradley.